This morning, the Bible reading will be from James, the second chapter, verses 14 through 18. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, "Go in peace and be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works."
Good morning. This morning, as we continue looking in Galatians chapter 5 at the qualities that are produced and a part of the fruit of the Spirit, we are picking up. We've previously studied love, joy, peace, and patience. And today we're going to look at the next two words in that passage, kindness and goodness. These are also found in verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5. Now, kindness and goodness, at first glance, they sound very much the same. Kindness, goodness. So let's dig down into them a little bit and see where they're similar and then also where they are different. Now, as we look at the word kindness, it's taken from the Greek word trestotes. C-H-R-E-S-T-O-T-E-S. That's my best guess on the pronunciation. Now, this exact word is found three times in the New Testament. But there are variations of the word that are also found in the New Testament, and those add up to an additional seven times. So, give or take, you know, a variation on the word, this word for kindness is in the New Testament 10 different times. Now, Strong's defines the word to mean goodness, excellence, uprightness, kindness, and gentleness. All words that are very similar in meaning and can easily, you know, help us with an understanding of kindness. Now, how it's used or defined in some practical ways, it means it's usable or it's well fit for a use for, you know, what is really needed. It means useful kindness. It meets real needs, and in a spiritual application, it meets those needs in God's way, the way God would want us to be helping and being kind to others. So, in these examples, it's not hard to kind of see that this version of kindness is an action word. What I mean by that, it's not necessarily a verb. I'm going to go over and kindness that person. But this version of kindness is implicit that it's just not being kind, it's actually doing something on someone's behalf. It's useful, it's usable. Now, the passage that Brother Jim read in James, while it talks about faith and works, it does talk there. It's the first thing that came to my mind when I was thinking how kindness is usable. In verse 22, it talks about what good is it if you recognize someone needs something, if you recognize someone is hurting or, you know, needs assistance, it doesn't do anyone any good, especially the person who's in need, if you just say, "Thoughts and prayers, I feel for you, I hope things turn up for you, or turn around for you." No, in this case, we should incorporate our kindness into an action. If we see someone hurting like that, we need to then do something about it. We need to help them. The writer says wishing them well does absolutely no one any good. We need to help them with what they are lacking. And kindness, this version of kindness, requires us to do something. Doing something that will help others. Romans chapter 11, verse 17, if you want to turn there. I have a few passages, a few verses there in that passage I will be reading. Romans 11, 17, 24. Really, I could have read a lot more from this chapter, but I wanted to not have it be a 13 or 14 verse reading. So we'll read from 17 down to verse 24. That passage reads, "But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, 'Branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in.' That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their belief, will be grafted in. For God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree?" So here in verse 22, we find an example of this use of kindness here. Paul's showing a comparison between the kindness that God is able to provide to people and the severity of his punishment that he will serve unto people as well. It says here, if you're faithful and you continue to be faithful, regardless if you're a Jew or a Gentile, which this is what this passage is talking about, he's going to honor you with his kindness. But if you fall away from his commandments in the ways that the Jews had, he will have an equally severe response. Now, God did not spare the natural branch, the Jews. He will not hesitate to punish those that are not part of his original chosen people. So the kindness that's mentioned here is God's kindness. And then the third passage, other than this passage in Romans and the passage in Galatians that we find the word, the third time in which kindness is found in the New Testament is Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Titus 3, 1 through 5. "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." So the kindness of God here is mentioned again. That relates to the mercy that he extends to all who have been renewed by the Holy Spirit. As we were studying in Romans, God will certainly, as we're studying in Romans in Mike's class, God is certainly willing and able to turn people over to their sins. He's not going to plead and beg anyone to not do what they want to do. If they want to keep on sinning, God says, "I'll turn them over to that. I will let them do so." But if you believe and you accept the Savior, God's kindness is what will save us. Not because of anything that we've done or because we deserve it, but it's because of his mercy and the extension of the kindness through that. Now, in our remaining time, let us transition to the second word of the morning, which, if you remember, was goodness. The word found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 as goodness is the Greek word agathosune. Its literal definition is to do good. Other usages of the word include, more lengthier definitions, is intrinsic goodness, especially as a personal quality, with stress on the kindly rather than the righteous side of goodness, to be inherently good, as relating to believers, the goodness that comes from God, and showing itself in spiritual, moral excellence, also looked at as virtue. So this word occurs four times in the New Testament, and interestingly enough, this is a word that is found only in the Bible. It's not found anywhere else in secular Greek writings, in their secular language. It is a word that is only found here in the text inside of the New Testament. So we found, obviously, the first usages here in Galatians chapter 5. So let's look at the three other occurrences of this word in the New Testament to get a better understanding how goodness should be applied in our own lives. Romans chapter 15, verse 14. Paul here is talking to Gentiles who have become Christians. And in verse 14 he says, "I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another." Just of interest, some manuscripts do not use goodness here, probably because it's a Greek word that doesn't exist anywhere else. And so they substitute the word love instead of goodness. So they would say that you yourselves are full of love, filled with all knowledge, and so forth. So if we look at how this thought could be interchangeable with the word love, this goodness is a love for each other. It's a love for those around us, not just necessarily people in our own family or our inner circle. It's love for all of our brothers and sisters. Whether they're filled with goodness or love, they're willing to do and to help whatever was needed. And it's based upon this, it's their character. Their character is such that they are just full of this goodness, full of this love, and it's based upon their just their internal character. Remember, it's intrinsic goodness that, obviously, I think the implication is it comes from being a servant of God. They're able to do some things with it. And it's mentioned here in this verse that it's based upon their knowledge and their ability to instruct others. So instructing others is a way that we can show kindness, or excuse me, show goodness to people. We can show the love, and that's instructing others. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, Paul starts that chapter by telling the Ephesians that they should be imitators of God, being as his children. He then moves on to tell them some things that they should be avoiding in their life: sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talk or crude jokes, and so forth. So he talks about all these things that if you're going to be a part of his family, be a child, you can't be doing these things. But then in verse 8, he reminds them that don't get too high and mighty thinking about these things that you don't do, because at one time they did do those things. It says that they had previously been walking in darkness, but now they walked in the light of the Lord. So then he follows that in verse 9 by saying that the fruit of the light is found in those that have several qualities, the first of which is goodness. Now the English Standard Version does not use the word good, but the Greek word, it's the same Greek word here. The King James and some others do say goodness. Paul is telling them that if they are truly walking in the light, by doing so, they are going to be producing fruit. And among that type of fruit is goodness. The comparison to chapter 5, verse 22 in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit is noticeable there. By extension, we can determine that those walking in darkness do not have goodness inside of them. Now, they might do nice things for each other. They love their family. They love, you know, people in their lives. But they'll not have the type of goodness which derives from being, you know, having the fruit of the Spirit inside of them. So by being imitators of God and by being his children, if you are fully engulfed in that, if you let that be a part of you, then goodness will naturally, intrinsically be found in us. Then the last verse in which this word is found is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. For the same reason, I think it's just because the Greek word is so unique to these passages. The English Standard chooses not to interpret it as goodness, so for this purpose I will use the King James version of this verse. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Now, Paul, in these verses, in the verses right before this verse, is talking about Christ's second coming. He talks about those that would then be found to be unworthy, and those that were found unworthy would be punished into everlasting destruction. But he prays that the Thessalonians would be found worthy of being called by Christ when he returns. If that's the case, they would be receiving the good pleasure of his goodness. Now, that's a little, fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. Now, when I read that, it doesn't really jump off the page of what he's really meaning here. So, I did consult some commentaries on what this particular passage means, and Adam Clark, in his commentary on the Bible, sums it up this way. The goodness of God, his own innate eternal kindness, has led him to call you to the state of salvation. It is the pleasure of that goodness to save you into eternal life. Nothing can please God more than your receiving and retaining his salvation. It is all the good pleasure of his goodness, thus, to save you. This he has amply proved by sending his son to die for you, beyond which gift he has none greater. In this, all the good pleasure of his goodness is astonishingly manifested. And if you be faithful to his grace, he will fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness in you. So the fulfillment of the goodness of the pleasure is dependent upon us receiving the word, accepting it, obeying it, responding to it, and then continuing on. And then it's this, the good pleasure of his goodness, thus, to save us. So, these two words, if you think of kindness is more, like I said, more of an action word. Goodness is more about this intrinsic quality or this trait that we have by being Christians, which should want, should make us, if we're doing it right, we should want to help people. We should feel bad when we realize that we missed an opportunity. I saw a gentleman who was holding up a please help sign, but he was three or four lanes over for traffic, and I was at a stoplight, and I had one of those bags in my back seat, and he would have had to have crossed three or four lanes of traffic. The excuses you make for yourself. I didn't hand it to him, and I was kicking myself the rest of the day, and just didn't feel good about myself, because inside I knew I had the ability to do something even small for that gentleman. So let us think about how we are showing and sharing the kindness, how we're doing things for others, and the goodness which we have because of the Spirit that provides these qualities to us through our faithfulness. Brother Cliff will lead us in a word of prayer, and after that we will be dismissed to our classes.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for health you give us to be able to assemble this morning. We pray for those that, even in this small congregation, that have problems of health and unable to assemble. We pray for them and pray for those that minister to them. I have knowledge to restore them to health, that they might be able to lead a more normal life than they're living at this time. Come together each Lord's Day to look into your word and study it. When your son was here, he said his comment on it was that it was eternal. Heaven and earth would not pass away. Heaven and earth would pass away, but his word would not. He left with his disciples at that time a partial revelation of it, and then told them that he had to leave and send the Holy Spirit who would give them knowledge of all truth. And they imparted that verbally to the early disciples. You read that those that studied it, let's see, those in Berea, the characteristic of nobility was attached to them because they looked into the Word to see that those things that you said were from you and how to conduct their lives. So we ask you to be with us as we enter into service and bless the teachers and the students. Forgive us of our sins. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.